Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 64, which we heard read to us. I'm just going to read the first line to you and we'll go through quite a lot of the verse. You might even want to have your Bible open like Vicky is doing. Let Vicky be your example. Don't we have a lot of wonderful people in this church? Don't you think so? I do. I think there's wonderful people in this church. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that you'd come down. Break the heavens open and come down. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to us through this word today. And even if our thoughts go off in all sorts of strange directions, we don't know how we got there, we pray that even those thoughts can end up leading us to you, who's coming again, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This week in our prayers at home, and Joy and I usually pray, have our prayers and devotions around breakfast time, unless something doesn't go according to plan. But Joy prayed a prayer that went something like this. And I've got permission, by the way, for this. Save our world, oh God, come and save our world which seems to be going down the gurgler. How true is that? And I thought that was a really nice turn of phrase too, don't you? Going down the gurgler. I haven't heard anyone say that for years. Have you, Trudy? No. Oh, there's two Trudys there sitting one behind the other. Well, there you go. Most churches don't even have a Trudy and we got two sitting next, almost holding hands together. So we'd just been listening to the news, the 7:45 news, the biggest news bulletin of the day on the radio, and we'd heard how North Korea had just launched another missile. Talk about going down the gurgler. And we heard how more and more women were coming forward to dob Don Birkin, or whatever his name is. And we just heard, and I sort of knew all about this already, how my friend, and he is my friend, Archbishop Philip Wilson, is too sick to appear in court to face what I believe are trumped-up charges about the way he didn't report some sexual crimes that were happening around him. He's not accused of sexual crimes. He's accused that he should have known and should have reported. Then there was the news that the Senate is close to redefining marriage. And now it has done that, I guess, sort of. And about the only good news I was thinking is that Australia won the cricket. Because there wasn't much else to be glad about. And even that's got a sour note to it, hasn't it? Because it's all about sledging and pub mentality and so on. So not even the good news seems that even has an underbelly to it. Yes, Joy, where are you, Joy? Oh, there you are. We need to keep praying that God would come to save this world which seems to be going down the gurgler. And that's why I'm so glad it's Advent, my favourite season of the church year. Every week we'll light another candle. We had trouble at the first service, but things have picked up now to get that candle going. That candle that leads us to Jesus, the light of the world, or the saviour of the world. All these titles will keep coming up from now, light of the world, saviour of the world, and so on. Big titles. And we'll suddenly hear this great news. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. All the people. To you is born a Saviour, Christ the Lord. To the world in which the ABC and maybe Channel 7 and 9 even worse brings the bad news of what people are like, the angels bring the good news of what God is like and what he's done for us. To the people of South Australia, to whom the advertiser brings mainly the bad news of what troubles and sins we struggle with and then tries to paste over it with pretty girls on every page, the Word of God brings the good news of the holy character of God. who loves us as a father loves his dear child and sends his only son to rescue us from going down the gurgler and sets us on a new way, the path of love and forgiveness. When I look at the Advent hymns, I see that Joy's prayer was right on the ball. This is how some of them start. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, thou precious ransom, come. O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Come, thou Saviour of our race. Come, Lord Jesus, everlasting God, come down. What a hymn that is. We sang it this morning. Then I remember that every day I also pray, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And I need Jesus as much as anyone. I need Jesus right beside me at the breakfast table. And I need Jesus right beside me or in me in my heart. And I need Jesus walking beside me every step of every day. And I especially need Jesus to take me by the hand and lead me through the dark valley of the shadow of death, which he's been through. And that's why it all makes sense, because he's been through it and he's conquered it. And from which he will raise me from the dead, and he'll raise Joy from the dead, and he'll raise you from the dead, and he'll raise everybody who believes in him from the dead. Because that's what he's coming for. He's coming to rescue us from sin and the death and raise us to life. And when I look at this great text from Isaiah 64, I see the same prayer. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And there's another prayer before it in chapter 63. It says, where Isaiah prays, look down from heaven and see. In other words, see the mess that we've made of the world that you put us into. And this is why I like Advent so much, because it's so honest about the state of the world and about my state. We are all going down the gurgler, whether we know it or not, or whether we own up to it or not. Where shall we go for help? Shall we go to the government? Shall we blame the government when they can't seem to fix it? Shall we go to the best lawyer? Or the best psychiatrist? Or to the police force? Don't know if there's any police at this service. We're at the first. Shall we just take the normal approach, just eat, drink and be merry? And pretend, you know, we're on the sinking ship sort of thing. So let's just keep going and singing and drinking. May as well drink the stuff before it all goes down with the ship. Or shall we shop till we drop? I was heard this morning the shopping's not going that flash. They're not selling much. Maybe we ought to be out there shopping. Or maybe we ought to party all our problems away. You know, though, that surely you know that none of these solutions last longer than a hangover. So where should we go to get out of the gurgler? What is a gurgler, by the way? Is this how the water runs down? Is that what it is? Well, picture yourself there. Yeah. How do we get out of it when we're being sucked into this great rotten hole? Advent says, and if you've forgotten everything else, just remember this. This is pretty easy. Go to God. Go to God. You need outside help. Oh, do we ever need outside help? Ask God to look down from heaven and see the mess we're in. And then ask God to come. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And that's kind of a repentance prayer. Lord, we've tried everything and it hasn't worked. They tell us things are getting better and better, but it seems like they're getting worse and worse. We've even tried pulling up our own socks and found that, as the text says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. All of us have become like one who is unclean. That's verse 6. Not some of us. All of us have become unclean. All of us have sinned. Those who lead the church and those who sneak into the back pew. I didn't think of people sitting in the back pew at the first sermon. They all put up their hands. Yeah, but you know what I mean by sneaking into the back pew. I think you know what I mean. If we can talk about it later otherwise. And it's also those who worship every Sunday as well as those who never darken the door of the church. All of us have sinned, he says. All of us. And it says it in many places. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. Verse 7. Now, of course, no one's a bit of a generalisation because we trust that you people and Christian people are doing that, calling on God's name. We trust that you're doing it. And if you're not, well, this Advent's a good time to really, really begin. Pray, come Lord Jesus. It's not just others who have sinned. All of us have sinned. And we all need help. And it must come from outside this fallen world, this broken world, with all its fallen and broken people who struggle to live a godly life. And that's me, and that's you, I think. Advent calls us to recognise our desperate plight and to turn to God and ask him to come from heaven to help us. And that's repentance. That's turning away from all the self-help means we've been trying to use and calling out to God. Luther says that's God's call to us every day. Repent every day, he says. Turn to God every day. Ask God to come every day. Let come, Lord Jesus, be so much more than a prayer that we thoughtlessly rattle off at mealtimes, and become a desperate, trusting prayer that we pray for God's presence and help in our fallen, struggling world. Bonhoeffer says that Advent is like being in prison. Now, I don't know if any of you have been in prison. Don't tell us now if you have. But you know enough to know that in prison, in your cell, there's not much you can do. Is there? And Bonhoeffer knew because he was in a cell for a couple of years before they killed him. There's nothing you can do. We're totally dependent, he says, on somebody from outside to come and open the door and set us free. Let us out. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and rescue us from our prison. Rescue us from going down the gurgler with the rest of the fallen, sinful world. Now, Isaiah prays that God would come and really give the world a shake-up, to knock some sense into us all, to put the fear of God in us. He's thinking of Mount Sinai. Oh, that the mountains would tremble before you and cause the nations to quake before you, he says in verses 1 and 2. Haven't you sometimes thought the same? God, if only you'd come and shake, give everybody such a shake-up that they'd know that you are God and they'd know that they need to repent and they'd know that they need to change their ways. And wouldn't it be good if you came and shook the place up so everybody cries out for mercy? Last week we heard people say, when did we see you? You remember that? When did we see you? If only, and now we're hearing Isaiah pray, if only, God, you would come with a really big bang and wake everybody up from their spiritual slumbers and prove to the world that you really do exist and that they really need to believe in you and follow you. Frighten everybody into following you. But God does it his way. We read in verse 4, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. And sometimes the wait is long, isn't it? And people think God no longer exists. God no longer cares. People feel God has forgotten them. Like the disciples, we fall asleep when we're called, when Jesus calls us to watch and pray. Jesus says that a lot of times, doesn't he? Watch and pray, or watch, all those words, because he knows how weak we are and how easily we fall. We're dragged away, we're tempted away. And like Elijah, we stand waiting for God to come with a bang and a crash. But how does he come? In a still, small voice. But he comes. He comes. He hears our prayers. And this is what we read in Galatians, and we'll hear this around about after, straight after Christmas. When the time had fully come, in God's time, when the time had fully come, God sent his only son, born of a woman, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. God's time, God's way. Jesus comes in answer to prayer. Last week we heard, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. That was to those who said, when did we see you? I was a stranger and you welcomed me, even though you couldn't see me actually. Today we hear, I was in a manger and on a cross, and I was in bread and wine, and you welcomed me. You welcomed me. And Isaiah 64 tells us one more amazing thing that I'd like to spend a whole half a sermon on, but I've only got four lines on it because it got to the bottom of the page. O Lord, this is verse 8 and 9. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. God is our Father. The God we're praying to is our Father, who made us, who loves us, never stops loving us, who forgives us. And it is to him we pray, our Father, our daily prayer, our Father. You are in heaven, and your name is great, and your name is holy, but your kingdom come to where we are. And your kingdom come, provide us for our needs, above all, forgive us for our sins. Deliver us from all the evil around us and lead us to stop falling into all the potholes of temptation around us. Our Father, come with your kingdom, your great kingdom and your power and your glory. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Come to be with us in this Advent time so that we can celebrate Christmas in a really godly way, and keep coming to us so that when you come again, we can rejoice to see you. We can throw up our heads with joy to welcome you. Lord, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.